Coming up, I'm going to reveal four reasons why you have zero energy at work. And then Zillow CEO is attacking the hybrid work model. Layoffs are now fueling recession anxiety, and we're going to coach you up. Let's go. Coaching you up to get the competitive edge so you make more money and more impact. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. Thrilled to have you with us. Okay, so this is a pretty relevant topic today because more and more people are talking about being burned out. We hear about burnout all the time. Burnout. And, you know, burnout is real. I get it. It's a symptom. And one of the symptoms that can really affect your performance, obviously, in the workplace and then affect your ability to maximize your opportunities. If you go through a prolonged season of no energy, this is when the chances of something bad can happen. Mistakes in judgment, just good old-fashioned mistakes, not poor decisions, but maybe you're not checking something twice like you normally would. Your energy's low. Can affect the way you'll look and come across in a meeting. I sat down next to somebody the other day. I had really a poor night's sleep the night before. And I was dragging. And just like anybody else, when you're physically tired, you know, it could affect how you come across with your personality. True story, Alex. I haven't even told you this. Two things happened that day. One, towards the end of the day, we had an all-team meeting over there on the sixth floor. And I sat down next to one of our writers and just said hi to her and smiled. And she goes, "You okay?" And I go, "Yeah, I'm okay. Why?" She goes, "Well, you just seem a little down." And I go, "Oh, I'm really tired." She goes, "Okay." And then one of our viewers reached out to me on Instagram, sent me a DM, said, "Hey, you okay?" Yeah. I was like, "Yeah, I mean, yeah." And he's like, "Never mind." Sent me a DM like 20 minutes later. He goes, "I just finished watching today's show and you just didn't have your normal energy to start the show." I thought, wow, that's very perceptive. I was tired. And so this is the idea here. Like when we have low energy, it affects so many things. So let's talk about four typical energy suckers, right? Like think of these as little monsters and they can cause us to not have the right energy and thus affect our overall performance. The first one is physical. If you have a physically demanding job, it is much like my job. It's not physical at all. The only thing I lift every day is this pencil. No comments on the biceps, please. All right. But if you have I have an emotionally and mentally demanding job, and so I have to fill up emotionally and mentally when I go home. For those of you that are in physical jobs, same deal. You know, you can't work out 5-6 hours at a time. I don't even think The Rock does that. And that guy's like a human muscle. Can't do it. So these great weightlifters or these professional athletes that work out hard, they have a replenishing process post-workout or post-game. Same thing. For those of you that have physically demanding jobs, you are giving physically. What are you doing to restore, to fill yourself back up physically? While we're talking about the physical energy sucker, like how are you sleeping? How are you eating? Are you exercising? Again, I have a very emotionally and mentally demanding job. I need to eat right, sleep well, and I need to exercise, and I do exercise so that I replenish or I restore or I guard against the physical depletion that a very high stress, emotional, and mental output job like I have can do to you physically. Second, emotional. Again, emotionally demanding job. And then, okay, what have you given today? You know, I think of so many of the callers that are in mental health, certainly teachers that call. And they're just emotionally exhausted at the end of the day. So you take that and you go home and you're not in an emotionally safe or an emotionally healthy place. I don't mean to be crude, but I think it's the best way to get your attention on this. It's the equivalent of dry heaving. Is there anything worse in the world than dry heaving? Your stomach's upset. Your body's trying to get it all out. You have nothing left to give. And it's emotional dry heaving. If you are in an emotionally draining job and your home life is emotionally draining, that's the agonizing feeling. I have nothing left, period. And yet my body's still heaving. It's like, stop, I got it out, right? And so that's what's happening. So it's very important. So one of the things that I'd like to tell teachers that are suffering from burnout is there's little you can do to fix the boiler that you're in every day. But what can you do and what can you fix in your home life so that when you go home after an emotionally taxing day, you feel as though I've entered into a place of rest, a place of rejuvenation. And again, I also want to acknowledge that some of you are going to have to do some work on that end too for that to be the case. But to the extent that you can, then do it. Third area of energy sucking, mental. Just a lot of mental exertion. High levels of involvement. I'm thinking, I'm communicating. So for instance, today I will go from this show and I'll walk 15 feet over and I will co-host the Ramsey Show for 3 more hours. I'm here to tell you today, and Alex knows this, it's a lot of mental work because even if I'm coaching or listening to callers, I'm extremely focused so that I can give them the best advice possible. In our coaching session later in the program, I got to be dialed in. I'm mentally tired. This is what my brain feels like at the end of the day. You know what I mean? I don't have anything. Fourth, the environment. Now you take all three of those areas, physical, emotional, and mental, as it relates to your work, and then you do it in a crappy place. Here's my analogy again. It's like dry heaving. You got to be kidding me. I'm already being taxed in these areas, and then I'm doing it in a toxic area. So taxing job, toxic environment, no energy. None. So you need to pinpoint where you're losing energy. I gave you those four areas so that you can do your own assessment. It's evaluation time. And now once I evaluate where I'm losing energy, what am I going to do to stop the leak? So maybe some of you are being depleted in all four areas. This is a 4-alarm emergency. You are too valuable to this world, to the people that you do life with, to keep this up. You've got to make change because I'm telling you, you can be in a very taxing role in these areas, but still be very fulfilled in your work and in your life. And primarily, that's why I exist, to help you figure out what you need to do and then encourage you to do it. Coming up next, we'll dive into two news stories you need to know about. All right, folks. Boy, the recession possibility. Some people are saying we're in a recession. Some people are saying it's absolutely coming. It's freaking people out. Did a little Instagram Q&A yesterday, and it's popped up several times, popping up in my emails. I'm going to address it more and more here on the show. But the general sentiment is, Ken, what do I do about my career if we're going into a recession? How do I prepare for it? So how do you recession-proof your job or your career? And we're going to talk more and more about that. But one of the ways you do it is you need to have an emergency plan. We talked about this, I believe, last week on the show. And one of the ways to do that is always have options. And that's why I endorse ZipRecruiter. And I think every one of you right now that feels maybe a little threatened by an impending recession and what that may mean for your work, go to ZipRecruiter. It's a free service, one of the top hiring sites in the United States. And they are being paid by companies to find talent. And you want to talk about an emergency plan, you need to have a profile on ZipRecruiter. And if something were to go wrong, boom, hopefully you've been getting contacts and opportunities, but you're already in the system. That's one example. It's a great service. They are pitching you all the time while you're doing life to companies that are looking for talent. And let me just say this. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken, ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Let me just say this briefly about the recession. It's likely that we do go into a recession because of all these economic indicators of inflation, and now they're raising interest rates to try to cool things off. But here's the deal. Will there be layoffs? Sure. But recessions come and go, and jobs come and go as a result of that. We are still in a situation where we have way more jobs available than we have people who are unemployed. It's still a hot job market. You are going to be fine. Trust me. But you need to be ready. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken is one way to be ready. All right, let's get to it. A couple stories I'm really fired up about in the news. Okay, so which one do I want to get to first? Let's get to this one first, because I'm a little fired up about this. So remote work, hybrid work, lots of emotions around remote work. Hybrid work, just to kind of, you know, redefine it for people, if you're unfamiliar with it, is a combination of remote work and in-person work. That's all that that means. And obviously it gets a lot of headlines because the numbers are overwhelming. People want to work at home for all the reasons we understand. I get it. But we're seeing an increasing percentage of companies and CEOs going public. And then those that don't go public are just making the policy changes. Say, hey, we want you in the office some. We want you in the office all the time. And for reasons that I think are very obvious, and I understand that as well. Well, some companies, have thrived in a all remote model. I acknowledge that. Some are thriving with a hybrid model. Well, the Zillow, if you're familiar with Zillow, it's a real estate site. And, they've gone public on, they've got a very different way of working. And so they're not even using words like hybrid remote. They're all about just employee flexibility. And, of course, it's extremely popular, and I'll report on that in just a second. So Megan Repstein is quoted in an Inc.com article here that I've got in my hands. And some interesting stuff here. So they're all about flexible work policy. Employees can come into the office or work remotely as they prefer. I mean, it feels like anarchy to me. It's like, hey, whatever you want to do. Well, Zillow's made it work, so I'm not criticizing it, but boy, oh boy, this has got a lot of implications here. So here's what she says, hybrid meetings, where obviously some people are in the office, some are on Zoom, they're a big challenge for the remote worker because you got people that are in the office that are sitting there, and then you're kind of zoomed in, and so you're not fully present. You don't have all the perspective. I get that. I acknowledge that. So instead of saying, you know what, we're having an in-person meeting and you need to get your butt into the office of the meeting, Zillow goes, no. That's not fair. So they adopted a policy called One Zoom, All Zoom. You got to be kidding me. Now, she acknowledges that this is a silly name. She goes, I know it's a silly name, but the spirit is, let's not go back to a two-class system. And again, I think this kind of language it creates dissension. Why are we calling it a class system? Some people want to go into the office. Some people don't. Why? Well, if we're flexible, why are we even creating this? Well, they're not flexible. They're going, look, if one person is on the Zoom, everybody has to be on the Zoom. That's what they're saying. So everything is going towards the remote worker. Again, I don't have a problem with people working remote, but it's like this is creating tension. So ready for this? Recently, they've been experimenting with a variation on this approach. Is I gotta believe that didn't work. Wasn't popular. And so if there is a meeting in person and there's only one remote participant, they have someone else come to the in-person meeting who advocates for the remote participant to make sure their thoughts are heard. So here's the point. Let's say that Amanda and Joe and Nathan and I are having a meeting. And somebody else on our team could not be there for whatever reason, and they're on via Zoom. That means that we would invite Alex to the meeting. Alex, don't take this the wrong way. This is just an example. But Alex doesn't need to be in the meeting. He wasn't invited to the meeting, but we've invited Alex now because Alex is going to sit there with one goal or one purpose, rather, and that is to go, well, hey, Frank's on the line. Frank, did you hear everything? Frank, do you have something to say? Listen, this is absurd. This is hand-holding and snowflake allowing. Decide what you're going to do as a culture and then do it. You treat people like babies, they're going to act like babies. I think that is so absurd, it irritates me to no end. So there you go. I'm sure I offended somebody on that. But this is a leadership issue. People are adults. And I'm actually advocating for the person at home, Frank. Do you know why? Frank doesn't need somebody in the room to advocate for him. Frank can go, hey guys, he's in the meeting on Zoom. Let Frank advocate for Frank. All right. Now, negative news can freak you out. This headline from CNN, a spate of layoffs is fueling recession anxiety. Okay, let's look at what we mean by a spate of layoffs. I've reported on these layoffs on this show. We saw Redfin, which is a real estate company, another real estate company, Compass, and we saw Coinbase, which is a crypto company. They got big news this week for layoffs. There's other technology companies that are laying off. Relax. Spotify plans to reduce and lay off. Relax. Does that mean that we're going to now go through this big upheaval of layoffs? Well, number one, I don't know. But number two, let's wait and see, and let's also look into these particular companies. Interest rates are up. People are scared about a recession. So home buyers, we're seeing this data at Ramsey Solutions. Home buyers are going, I'm just going to wait 6 months and see if housing prices drop. They will in some areas, they will not in others. And when we say housing prices dropping, let me explain. Housing prices aren't going to go down. They will continue to move up, just not at the rate that they've been going up. But if you list your house right now for $500,000 more than what it would have been a year ago, and you only sell it for $400,000, your price didn't go down. You still got a huge bump. Come on, people. And so real estate companies are going to lay some people off because they had to staff up when the housing market was going nuts. Bitcoin companies are going to lay people off because there have been a bunch of crashes. This doesn't mean this is economy-wide. So I share these headlines to go, well, wait a second. Recession means the GDP is slowed over two quarters. Most of you don't even know what GDP is. It doesn't mean anything to you. So relax. You're going to be okay. Recessions come and go. Batten down the hatches financially. Slow some things if you want. Have an emergency job plan ready to go. But you're going to be fine. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Oh man, I love talking about email. Alex, this is a little reminder. We got to talk about. I almost need to do one little teaching lesson a month on the tyranny of email. I feel like I got to be a superhero on that issue. That's a little thought. We were talking during the break, making fun of me and my out of office. I've never done an out of office response one time in my life. Never once. Don't even know how to set it up. But just a little aside on this. Do you know why I've never had to do an out-of-office email thing? Because the people I work with know when I'm out of the office. You know why? Because we actually talk to each other. Hi, my name is Chronic Emailer. I'm going to email you something that I could tell you. Drives me bananas. Walk down the hall and talk to somebody. It's like these kids, right? I got three teenagers. They're texting me from upstairs the other night, Alex. I get a text. I go to get my phone. Oh, somebody's texting me, a friend, a family member from out of state or not in my house. I look at it. It's my kid. He's upstairs. What are you doing? I literally said, I will not respond to this via text. Come downstairs. No! Oh! Emoji. I know, I'm on a rant, but gosh, can we just bring the humanness back to our communication? You sending me 17 emails creates more work for me, as opposed to you walking up to me going, hey, Ken, what do you think? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back to your desk. I'm going to email my response. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give you an answer. Come on. All right, Kimberly's up next in Salt Lake City, Utah. Kimberly, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi.
How are you, Kimberly?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, I'm a little rowdy, a little grumpy about email right now, but I'm getting over it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, how can I help you?
Okay, so I'm currently in the job search right now looking for entry-level positions, but the feedback I keep on getting every time I send in an application is that I don't have enough experience to get the job, but to get the experience, I need the job.
Yeah, I've heard this call many, many times before, and I'm going to challenge your. I'm going to challenge what you're saying to me.
Okay.
Do you feel like there are people who have come in and gotten that job without experience before? Do you think there's anywhere in the world where someone goes, "This is entry level position, and no experience is needed because they train you on the job"? Do you think that exists?
Yes.
Okay. So is it possible that you are applying for a position that is too high up the ladder? In other words, the people that are in that position now, they must have done something else before that got them the experience that they needed to get that job. Do you think that that's logical?
Yes, it is very logical.
So that means that there are only two possibilities as to why you're getting the, you need more experience response. Either A, they're lying to you because they just don't have the courage to go, we don't want you, Kimberly. Or B, you are applying for a job that is too high up the ladder for you right now, meaning you have got to lower your sights in the immediate so that we can get in and be able to climb to the future that we want. And I think your situation is option two. So what kind of job is it that you have been applying for?
I've been applying for things in the communications and public relations industries.
Okay, great. I'm very familiar with this because we have a public relations department here at Ramsey Solutions. I work day in, day out with publicists. In fact, right before today's show, I was huddling with two publicists to give them some talking points for a Fox News thing I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm very familiar with how it works. But there are entry-level positions in publicity, true or false?
There are.
That's what you need to do. I'm so sorry because it sucks, doesn't it? Because you're like, oh, I see this shiny thing over here I want. But they keep telling me I need 2 to 3 years experience. And I'm guessing you need these things you've been applying for. How many years experience are they saying you need?
The 1 to 2 years.
Yeah.
So
here's my point. The people that are in those positions, what did they do before they got in that position? There's your answer. It's research.
Yeah.
The people that are in those positions, what did they do before they got that position? And therein lies where you're aiming. And you're going to get it because they need people to start out. They need people at entry-level publicity positions. It may not be what you're excited about, but again, it's like, okay, nobody ever gets excited about the first couple steps of a hike or a climb, do we?
Yeah.
No. What do you get excited about on a climb or a hike?
The view.
Yeah, the destination. So, I hope that doesn't discourage you. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to help you refocus. Your perspective needs to go, I have to do what I must do in order to do what I want to do. So that means
yeah,
I got to
no, that makes sense.
Yeah. Now, do you already have some ideas of which way you need to go and where you need to set your sights?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to give you my book called The Proximity Principle. Okay. This is the number one best-selling book. It's a deep dive into stage three of my seven stages. Stage one is get clear. You're clear on what you want to do. Stage two is get qualified. You have some basic qualifications, but now you need to get more qualified by taking entry-level positions.
Yeah.
All right. Stage three is get connected. It is connections in this case that you have to focus on. You've got to talk to people that are doing the publicity work you eventually want to do. So the proximity principle says in order to do what Kimberly wants to do, she's got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. So you've got to get around publicists and go, hey, I've been applying for these positions, but they say I need more experience. So what are some positions I need to be looking for to get in and get my feet wet and then be available and qualified and ready to step up the ladder? So you are now connecting with publicists who are winning in the industry, and you just go, hey, I've been applying for these type of roles. They say I need 1 to 2 years, so I need to get in. What's the best way to get in? And those men and women are going to be able to give you tremendous knowledge and wisdom. And if you do it with a great spirit of, I just want to learn, I want to be you one day. How do I get started? Where would you tell me to look? What is the key to getting in and winning and moving up? And you do that with a spirit of enthusiasm and hunger and humility, you're going to get good answers. And I will tell you, you will also get good connections out of that. They will, and sometimes, just give you good information. But many times they will give you a connection and introduce you to somebody who then hires you. So the book is called The Proximity Principle. I'll give you whatever format you want, audio, ebook, or hard copy. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
All right, hang on the line. You got this. And you know, this is such a fun little principle. It's over my shoulder here for those of you that are viewing. And this book, it was a fun project for me. I wrote it, when did that come out? 2019 maybe? And what happened was, is I was on the phone one day coaching someone just like Kimberly. And the guy said to me, he said, hey, I'm looking to switch and pivot from one industry to another. And I don't obviously know a whole lot of people. I don't have a whole lot of experience in that industry. And I'm absolutely confident where I want to go. I just don't know how to get there. And earlier that morning, I had been in my car at a stoplight and I was reviewing a podcast interview. I was going to be a guest on a podcast. And the guy said to me, one of the questions was that he pre-submitted was, how did you go from not having any experience in broadcasting to making your way in it? And I was making some notes in my phone. And one of the things I said was, it was about people and places. I was good about getting myself around the right people and in the right places. And it led to opportunities. It was really about proximity. And I'm saying all this at the stoplight. And then I went, oh, that's the proximity principle. And I made it up. The proximity principle says, in order to do what I want to do, I've got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. Watch this. Here's the formula. The right people plus the right places equals opportunity. Who says you got to kick the door down all the time? No. The proximity principle, right people plus the right places equals opportunity showing up and knocking on my door. Hey, folks, I got to get out of here, but remember this, you matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Money should be fun, not stressful. I'm Rachel Cruze, and I'll show you practical tips on how to save money in your everyday life and get out of debt even faster on The Rachel Cruze Show. I'll show you that you can take control of your money and create a life you love. Listen to The Rachel Cruze Show wherever you listen to podcasts.